buy it, use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, mail, upgrade it, load it, point it, zoom
it, press it, snap it, work it. Wow! In an announcement that shook the world, briefly shutting down Twitter and grinding the web to a crawl. I'm not talking about dial-up internet, people. Steve Jobs announced the new Apple iPad. And we're here to say, who cares?
I poop.
Yeah, and you know, just in fairness, we're not Apple haters. In fact, we're Apple lovers. I like pears more, but I really like apples.
Apples are good, Macintosh apples. Mm-hmm.
Yes, ladies
Granny
and gentlemen.
Smith apples.
This is Steven.
And this is Chris.
And you are listening to episode 122 of That Computer Show, your source for the latest in gaming and technology news. With the announcement of the iPad comes our well-versed and researched analysis, as well as other poignant news of the hour. An in-depth review of another wireless tablet device, the Boogie Board. We spoke of it last week, and now we've got one to play with. Boldly going where no game has gone before with Star Trek Online, beating Star Wars to the punch with its new MMO. We're going to talk about that a little bit. And in a little bit of news for you office bathroomers, no pooping on the job, people. Turn office paper to toilet paper.
That's just bizarre.
It's real, isn't it?
Yeah.
And in useless technology news, an 80-port USB hub.
Yes. Why?
I don't know. And now, without further ado, That Computer Show, episode 122.
You could make a RAID array of all those 256 megabytes.
You could. but it would be slow because, you know, you can only push so much data through a USB hub, a root hub. Was it, what, 420 megabits?
Yeah, but that's still faster than your average, you know, IDE notebook hard drive.
So. Yeah, that's true. So, wow, 80 ports. Okay, so we are starting with the iPad. And no, we're not talking about the Mad TV skit from a couple years back. Although, immediately, I was sent Twitters of this from my close personal friend, Greg Grunberg. You might know him as Matt Parkman on Heroes.
I'm so glad that his character's back into an active role.
He really is, too, man. You see what he did?
He's one of my favorite characters on the show.
Yeah.
And his ability is really, really pretty cool. Kind of worried, you know, there's a slight chance he may be a future guest on That Computer Show. Kind of
we're working
scared
on
he might take over our minds and have us talking.
He's going to make you love Windows.
Yeah, and make you love Ubuntu.
I love Ubuntu. Uh-oh.
See?
He's already started.
It works through his Twitters already. Man.
Wow. Okay, so Apple, the iPad, and the whole world was abuzz. Steve Jobs was all, like, demoing it, and it was all cool and stuff. And slowly, the landscape began to evolve. So tell me a little bit about the iPad. So now, I'm a big fan of tablets, so obviously I'm going to have to get one of these because I love on my tablet. We were at a client site the other day, and I loved that instead of describing the networking panel, I just took a video of it.
Yeah, you just grab your phone and
Well, but I did it with my tablet PC because you know every computer at this point comes with a webcam. So I'm really looking forward with the iPad of
no camera.
No, yeah, no. I mean, I've got a camera on my tablet.
But here. The iPad does not have a camera.
No, really.
No camera. No camera on the back. No my camera on the front for like web video conferencing.
My $200 netbook has a webcam. They're like $5 mm-hmm. to make.
Mm-hmm.
It's.
But they couldn't fit it in there with all the. They had to have the really nice thick.
Oh, well, okay.
Frame.
Well, okay. Here we go. Well, I really like on my tablet. I've got a Toshiba tablet, and I love across the bottom. There's a whole bunch of buttons that are hotkeys for a lot of the things that I do. No, like rotate this.
iPad only has one button.
No, really.
Just one.
Button. I mean, I can log on. I can change. Can like output it.
Other than the volume at the top, it's just one big button. It's Apple. You only need one button.
But
since the very beginning, you've only needed one button.
I can read fingerprints with my tablet.
You can get all 140,000 apps off the Apple App Store.
But don't they have things called computer programs that do the same? But at least I'll be able to walk around with OS X in my pocket.
Negative.
Like, no, because it's Apple. OS X is the desktop.
Nope. iPhone OS 3.2.
What is that exactly?
It's the same OS that's on the iPod Touch and the iPhone.
But it's got a big screen.
Yeah, it's got a big screen. Yeah.
It's got... Oh, God.
It does have that. It does have a big screen. In fact, it has so much in common with the iPod Touch.
Wait a minute. Is this it?
It is an iPod Touch.
Wait, I'm looking at a picture. Okay, I'm on device, and there's like pictures of this. Everything. This is it?
Imagine, if you will, an iPad Touch,
but it looks like
with 3G.
Stretched.
But you can't make a phone call. But you can.
Wait,
but
no.
You have to use VoIP.
So, but you could. You can use it. You can make phone calls with it.
If you use something like Skype or, you know, Vonage or something like that.
Google Voice, though, right?
Yes. Finally.
Whew. Okay. God, jeez. So, what can I do with it?
Impress your friends with how big your iPod Touch is.
This is real.
Okay.
This is not a joke.
So, yeah, I'm going to go over the specs on this. Oops, there is my mic. On the specs on this.
And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about this, and then we're not going to talk about this.
Yeah, we're going to talk about it, especially we're going to talk about it, and we're just going to leave it alone. Because everybody, it's funny, I sat down to try and look at things to talk about for the show, and it's like, well, I guess I have to talk about the iPad, because that's all there is to talk about.
Yeah.
Every single stream of information seems to be full of their new custom GPU and custom CPUs and how it does not make phone calls. Yeah, the cool thing about this thing, it's got Apple's new 1 gigahertz A4 processor, which is a system-on-chip processor by Samsung. It's pretty cool. That's probably the neat factor. You can go ahead and close that tag and put a little slash if that tag's over. So that's about all I'm needed is new processor.
Wait a second. What about... I can do flash stuff, right?
No flash. Not yet. Oh, and wait. Adobe and Apple aren't getting along, so probably not ever.
So...
It's got a 9.7-inch screen, which does a 1024 by 768 resolution, okay, which is kind of cool.
It's
LED backlit, capacitive touchscreen with some really cool new gestures. You know, you can flick it off. I mean, you can...
Yeah, I was going to say, can you flip it the bird?
It's got... up to 10 hours battery life. As far as ports, it's got a headphone jack.
Oh, wait, but USB ports.
No USB ports.
What?
A 30-pin dock connector, a microphone, and one built-in speaker. The thing is 10 inches wide and doesn't do stereo.
I've got a 10-inch netbook, and I've got 3 USB ports and a keyboard.
And 2 speakers, a webcam, a full keyboard, 2 buttons, a touchpad, and
a hard drive that will run any operating system I want. I can run OS 10 on my netbook.
And it'll run better and faster.
And for $100, I can get a touchpad adapter for my...
I think Apple just kind of totally missed what we all have been wanting. We want an Apple netbook. We want an Apple tablet.
No multitasking. Okay, multitasking, for those of you at home, it's the ability to do more than one thing. Like
juggle and chew gum.
Or listen to Pandora and check your email.
Oh, on a computer, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Or juggle your computer while listening to Pandora and searching for new gum on a website and writing notes about it.
And you can't do that? Chewing gum and walking.
Wait, you really can't multitask? You can only use one app at a time.
Yep.
Want to fire up Pandora and run it in the background while you hammer text in iWorks? You can't.
You can play music on the from the iTunes player that's built into the unit. You can play music, but not streamed music from like Pandora. So,
yeah, so I can get the big pistol app. I can shake this thing like a...
Oh, and the on-screen keyboard is the same on-screen keyboard from the iPod Touch.
All right.
Just bigger.
I am going to say no, Apple. No, ma'am.
It is basically a tablet PC that you can't make decisions on what software it's on if it's not in the Apple iStore.
It's not a tablet PC because I can't compute, personally.
No, yeah.
All right. You know what? I got
a swing and a miss.
I got a.
There are already
machine.
I've already seen 3 or 4 other tablet units in this size and in this price range that blow this thing away. MSI has one. Asus has one. Hey, Asus, you remember them? They're the guys that invented the netbook.
Wow.
Yeah, those guys. They have one. Dell's got one. But Dell's taking the approach a little bit different, where the MSI, Asus, and Apple iPad are all around $500. The Dell is $1,000, but it's got a pretty impressive feature set. It's got a 1 gigahertz Snapdragon processor, which means it's stinking fast, LED backlit capacitive screen, just like the others, runs Android super fast, has two cameras, 5-megapixel front-facing back-facing camera, and a 1.2-megapixel front-facing camera for things like video conferencing. It's pretty impressive. It's everything the iPad should have been. It's only 5 inches, though, and it's $1,000, which I think people would pay more than $500 if the iPad had half the features the little stinking 5-inch Dell did.
I'm floored. But I have news.
Anyway, I'm going to close this tab right here. It's going to get the X. Goodbye.
Wow.
So, whew, there goes the iPad news.
Yeah, well, I've got news of a machine that turns office paper into toilet paper. Yeah, poop. Okay.
I'm just thinking, yeah, we could use that machine today. You're at that computer store.
Okay, but this is kind of cool. There's a YouTube video, and it's made by a company called White Goat. I don't...
Interesting company name there.
Yeah. Of course, when you think about it, goats eat paper, and then they poop out little... No. But it's basically... It takes about... it's about a dime per roll of toilet paper. You put in 40 sheets of regular paper. About a half hour later, out comes a roll of toilet paper.
An hour later?
Now.
Yeah, I mean, about a half hour. If I put in a whole stack of TPS reports, I want a report of some TPS afterwards.
Yeah, but the bad news is the machine's about $100,000.
I'll just go down to the dollar store and buy a thing of Bounty.
Well, yeah. Paper. But think about it. I mean, I'm trying to think about how this might work at an office. You know, reduce, reuse, recycle. Instead of, I don't know, if you, I don't. No.
How many rolls of toilet paper would you have to make to save you
$1,000? I haven't done the math. Okay, might be useless, but so is an 80-port USB hub. Yeah, 80-port USB hub? Look at this thing.
Yeah, link me this thing. This thing is an abomination, and I must see it.
It's actually pretty ugly. It doesn't even look cool. Like, if it had... Like,
it's as bizarre as a frog in a frozen meal.
Yeah, which is what I'm talking about next. Oh, it's $165, 80-port USB hub.
She looks scared of it in the photo there, and as do I. I'm afraid.
Yeah, I don't understand.
But I mean, I only have 4 USB ports on my notebook. And I'm thinking, you know, it'd be kind of nice to have extra USB ports, but yeah. 80.
Wow.
Is it USB 3 or just USB 2?
I think it's just USB 2. I closed the link.
Yeah,
I want to talk about this frog thing, but I think we're coming close to the end of segment one. Okay, now a couple things. Star Trek is launching their MMO. Is it out yet, Leviticus?
My dad is playing.
Your dad is what?
Playing the early release.
So it's out for early release. Basically, if you pre-ordered it, or you know, you can play it a couple days early, get it like 3 days of extra geekdom in. It sounds really cool. You are, a starship captain? And you have your own ship, and you can upgrade your ships, and you can fight in space or on the ground.
It'll be out on Tuesday.
Whoa, I just saw a link that says U.S. to lift 21-year ban on haggis.
We're all doomed.
I gotta find this. Hold on. Where did that go? Oh my god, that's what haggis looks like. Ooh.
Hey, don't. Oh. We don't have any office supplies. Don't.
All right,
I'm not cleaning that up.
Part one is done. Part two is coming. That computer show will be right back after these life-altering commercial messages. After that, we're going to tell you about a couple of cool technologies to make your computing life easier. Live Mesh and Dropbox. We've had a couple of requests to chat about this. We use these here at the store. And Weight Watchers to include frogs in some of their new frozen meals.
I didn't predict that.
Yeah. All right, stay tuned. That computer show will be right back.
This is Internet Radio. It is diverse and far more entertaining than conventional over-the-air radio. It gives you something you can't get from other forms of audio media. It gives you music you might not hear anywhere else. It gives you interesting points of view and experimental methods of production and content. It's a new type of radio. But there are those that want it gone. There are people who want to take this all away from you. They say that by hearing their product over the internet, that they're getting cheated out of millions of dollars. Let's see, you hear their music and decide to buy it. How does that cheat them? You like their product and choose to spend money on it, and that cheats them how? In a free world, people are supposed to have a choice about where they get their entertainment, and your independent internet broadcaster is being threatened by big money conglomerates who demand you do it their way. If you want a free internet radio community, you need to take some positive action now. Not tomorrow, now. Send an email to copyinfo@loc.gov. That is, copyinfo, C-O-P-Y-I-N-F-O, at loc.gov. Tell the Librarian of Congress that the World Wide Web is for all people, broadcasters and listeners alike, who are entitled to enjoy this new technology without the threat of the extortion that the big money music interests are proposing. Small internet broadcasters simply cannot afford to pay an inflated per song per listener fee, and you want the free expression of music as art to remain just that, free for all.
Have you heard about Valpak.com? It's the online version of the famous Valpak Blue Envelope with even more great offers. At Valpak.com, you could find savings for your home, coupons for eating out,
table for two,
or maybe even discounts on gardening services. Every day is different. Sometimes Valpak.com has savings on long-distance service. Other times, you might find discounts on long-distance travel. To discover today's savings for yourself, just log on to www.valpak.com. Enter your zip code and start browsing our online coupons. Depending on when you visit Valpak.com, you might find savings on pet care, car care, or even hair care. You could come across a coupon for martial arts or save on CDs from the top of the charts. At Valpak.com, you're in control. Just click the coupons that interest you and print them out any day, anytime. So, how does that sound? Valpak.com. There are more savings online.
I'd like to buy the world a home and furnish it with love. Grow apple trees and honeybees and snow white turtle doves.
I'd like to teach the world to sing with me.
It's the Onion Radio News. A local man hates all 211 beverages in the store. This is Doyle Redland reporting. A simple excursion to the supermarket today spiraled into an acrimonious blur of rage for Joe Duarte. The 57-year-old Rockford, Illinois man was nearly overcome by a horrible loathing for every one of the 211 beverages stocked at his neighborhood White Hen.
Iceberry cooler! Hate it! Extreme Lime! I hate it! Fine Hartzell RX Mantasia! Hate it! Hate it! Hate it!
Duarte reserved his most vehement loathing for the sugary drinks sold in sports bottles, as well as all of the bottled water brands and their claims of purity. Upon arriving home, Duarte drank deeply and angrily from his garden hose. Doyle Redland for The Onion Radio News.
Buy it, use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, melt, upgrade it. Load it, point it, zoom it, press it, snap it, work it, quick, erase it.
And we are back with more of That Computer Show. You're listening to us live from thatcomputershow.net as we broadcast from the Blue Room at That Computer Store. I got show notes here. And it's a little quick to like, hey, talk about this. Oh, don't forget to talk about this. And the next item is called the Weight Watchers Frog Meal. That's my note. Those are my show notes. I'm reading from The Consumerist. TheConsumerist.com. Weight Watchers meal includes a free frozen frog. Okay, quote, wow. Noreen tells Consumerist that she made an exciting discovery yesterday. Her Weight Watchers Smart Ones frozen meal, a fettuccine Alfredo dish that is supposed to be meatless, included a free protein-rich side dish, a tiny frog.
Noreen writes, I've been eating a Weight Watcher Smart One for lunch just about every day of 2010. After microwaving yesterday's fettuccine alfredo, I peeled back the plastic cover to find a small frog nestled among the broccoli. Ew!
Yeah.
Now, Weight Watchers graciously offered her coupons towards the purchase of future products. To include a caterpillar, a snail, a mouse. How did the frog get in there?
Maybe it looked like broccoli.
It looked like broccoli.
It does look sort of like broccoli.
And it's I'm sad because she didn't discover the frog until after she microwaved it. So there's this cute little cookie frog.
I don't know if this is the kind of frog that you can thaw out and they'll survive, but there are certain frogs that will freeze and
then being a cold-blooded creature. But he's a frozen frog.
I wonder how many points the frog is.
And one of the comments is, each frog is 0 points, but how many times can you eat just one?
Yeah.
And I've eaten frog legs. They're kind of good, actually. But I don't know. I don't know. So, Weight Watchers now includes frogs. Now, in fairness, this is probably a fluke, and there probably aren't a lot of Weight Watchers meals with frogs. Because we've all heard the you know, a mouse in my Coke or a Band-Aid in my rushes or whatever, you know. But Weight Watchers frog meal. Okay, so Chris, we were asked to talk a little bit about Dropbox and Mesh.
Yes.
Can you tell us in a nutshell what Dropbox is?
First of all, Dropbox will not work in a nutshell.
Yet.
But it will work on any computer that's running Windows, Mac OS X, or Linux.
Sweet.
And Dropbox is this fun, cool little folder that you get on your machine. In Windows, it's in your My Documents folder under My Dropbox.
Okay.
In Linux, it's just in your home folder called Dropbox. And on OS X, it's also just in your home folder called Dropbox. Any files that you put into your Dropbox folder are auto-magically synchronized across all the computers you own that have Dropbox installed.
So, like, okay, I'm on my laptop here, and I'm working on something, and I save a file in my Dropbox.
Mm-hmm.
And then I leave my laptop here at the store, and I go home, and I'm like, oh, crap, Bubbles, I need that file, man.
Well, if it was in your Dropbox, and you have Dropbox on your PC, it's also on your PC.
Now, what if I don't have Dropbox on my PC?
That's cool. You just go to the Dropbox website, log in, and it's right there.
So I can actually get it from the website?
Yep, right from the website.
Now, the website is
Dropbox.com.
We need to stage this. That's all, like,
pretty simple.
Yeah.
Dropbox also has a couple of other cool features that I really like. The photos feature, basically any photos that you put in the photo folder in your Dropbox, they get a neat little link. As long as you drag a folder of photos, you click on that folder, go to the Dropbox, right-click on it, and go to the Dropbox options, and there's a get a link for this folder. Okay. You can then email or Twitter or IM that link to someone, and they don't even have to have Dropbox installed. They just click that link and automatically go to a web page.
So it's kind of like a Flickr sort of a thing.
It gives you a gallery of those photos. It's really cool, just like Flickr, yeah. Except you don't have to upload. You just copy them to a folder on your desktop, and boom, they're there.
That is pretty cool.
Also, the ability to share folders in Dropbox is probably one of its most useful features for people like us here at That Computer Store and other companies. Collaboration on projects can sometimes lead to people overwriting files, things like that.
Yeah.
Well, with Dropbox, you get 30 days of revisions on those files. So if I create a file and I write something to it, and I'm in a folder that I'm also sharing with Steven and with Kyle, and Kyle changes that file and saves it, it totally messes it up.
Yeah, it's like,
I can go, oh, that's not what we meant there. I can just go to the previous versions and go back to the way it was.
Wow, the way we were.
It's free for 2 gigabytes of storage.
Free is good.
And you get 250 megabytes of free storage added on to that, up to 4 more gigs of free storage for recommending other people.
Okay,
I sure wish they'd give us an extra 250 megabytes of storage for mentioning them on our show. Maybe
we'll send them the sound
request for that.
Yeah.
You get 250 meg for every time you recommend someone. Okay. There's also some cool things you could do on the site to get a free 250 meg from just like following their tour and things like that.
Now, you can also, because I have some business associates that use this, and it should be noted, in different countries. Like, they'll be in Colombia, and somebody's in Australia, and somebody's in, like, Gilbert, which is another country entirely, and they might be in, like, New York or where. And they can actually, it'll synchronize. It doesn't matter where you are.
And it's fast. You would think that if you're editing a 3 megabyte or 4 megabyte PowerPoint presentation, for example, and you change one slide, then it's got to update that 3 or 4 megabytes over your connection, no matter what your connection speed. No, it just changes. It just uploads what they call the delta, or the difference between the current file and the new file, which means it could be a couple of kilobytes, just very, very tiny bits of information.
Oh wow! I just got a message from a friend of mine who uses Dropbox. And she's like, it works in Japan, too.
It works in Japan.
Nice. But cool. It's everything is more slanty.
Yes. a little slanty in Japan.
Wow.
There is also pay-for versions.
Mm-hmm.
There's a 50 gigabyte version for $50 a year.
Not bad.
Or 100 gigabytes for $100 a year.
Okay.
So it's like 10 bucks a month or...
I would really like to see the ability to run your own Dropbox, you know? Like, we could put one on our server in Florida and do our own Dropbox.
Cloud storage is there are a couple of open source projects. They're not nearly as robust and full-featured as Dropbox, and they don't offer as much security as Dropbox does. Ubuntu has a very similar product they call Ubuntu One. It's a cloud storage product. Google is also working on their cloud storage with it's part of their Google Apps and Google Docs.
Yeah.
And I believe Microsoft has cloud storage as well in the form of Mesh, which will have to fill me in because I am not as up to speed on Mesh.
And it's interesting because, you know, Microsoft is really starting to splinter into multiple companies. It's kind of schizophrenic. But, you know, we've all heard...
I don't know who to hate anymore.
It's
playing...
SkyDrive... came out of the Live Labs, and it's SkyDrive. You get like 5 gigs of online storage for stuff like pictures and things like that, and that's kind of neat. But that's not what I want to talk about now. I want to talk about Mesh, which
I have a question about SkyDrive. There was a limiting factor on SkyDrive
through the website. The limit was 50 megabytes per file,
so you couldn't upload a file that was bigger than 50 megabytes
through the website. Now, what's interesting is a couple of enterprising companies have developed a way to basically give you a drive letter. It uses the protocol to upload directly, and apparently if you use those and not the website, that limit is a function of the website code, not of SkyDrive itself.
That makes more sense.
Yeah, but which is great. It's another 5 gigabytes of free online storage for pictures, documents, drivers, whatever. But Mesh, and you can get to Mesh if you go to mesh.com, M-E-S-H, and the idea is very similar. You get 5 gigabytes... Five with Mesh. You get 5 gigabytes of free online storage, just like Dropbox. You set a folder, and you can put documents on it and such, and you can add multiple computers to your Mesh. Now, Mesh is not as evolved in its cross-compatibility. They are working on support for Apple. And,
I see on their site they do have an image of an iMac.
Yeah,
there.
They do, and there's a technical preview available for if you're brave and connected.
Does this work at all in Linux at all?
Not to my knowledge, and I don't know for certain, but to my knowledge, it does not yet work in Linux. So this is kind of a Windows only fix. Now, one of the things about Mesh that I very much like over Dropbox, and I use both on my computer. It's called Live Mesh Remote Desktop. Now, everybody's familiar with remote desktop connectivity. You know, you can go and...
Now, this part is cool.
Yeah. So, the biggest problem with remote desktop stuff, the stuff that's built into Windows, is when everybody has a router, everybody has a firewall, and they can't get to their computer. They can't get to it to connect to it. Well, if you're running Mesh, it basically reports back to the Mesh website. It says, hey... You know, I'm over here, I'm behind Steven's firewall, puppy's here, eating a big bone, you know, and you know, it's cool, it's cold here. And I'll be at the store, and I can go to my little Mesh program, it's in my taskbar next to Dropbox, and they kind of hang out together and do lunch. And I say, well, I want to connect. I want to connect to the computer at the house, or I want to connect to my notebook that's in the conference room. And I can get a remote desktop from anywhere, real time, right in. Dropbox doesn't have that functionality, but Mesh doesn't have the revisioning functionality. For example, if I delete a folder, I can't go back in time and get it back. So I really like Dropbox for that. I really like Mesh for the ability to connect to any computer
in
my little personal Mesh.
Mesh, that's one feature of Mesh that Dropbox won't ever have, because it's not really the function of Dropbox. Dropbox is solely an online storage, a cloud storage app. That is cool that Mesh integrates a remote desktop. I think there are a few other remote desktop products that would compete with that, but they're not part of Dropbox.
Yeah. And I also like that you can share folders in Mesh with other people. Like if Chris were running Mesh, I wonder if you could get Mesh to run in Wine. How cool would that be?
Not really certain, but I will look into it.
That's neat. Anyway, so if you're in business, or if you're a home computer user, and you're looking for ways to back up, creative ways to back up and save important data, Mesh and Dropbox are both excellent resources for that. We have a lot of people who use Carbonite. They pay for it. I'm not a big fan of Carbonite, and I don't know why. I think it has to do with Han Solo being trapped in it for so long. I just have a predilection to hate it. But yeah. So anyway, that's Dropbox and Mesh. If you have any more questions about it, you can always email us info@thatcomputershow.net or send us a Twitter at TCS Joe, and we'll tell you some more stuff. We got a few more minutes. So what's up with this recall? The Toyota recall thing. Do you know anything about this? I'm seeing this all over the news.
I did see an interesting sign for a Honda dealership that says our gas pedals don't get stuck.
Oh, dear.
So yeah, it's kind of scary. And the, what is it, the
Consumer Reports? Consumer Reports unrecommended the Toyotas. They had a lot of the Toyotas that are on the recall list, they recommended. They have gone so far as to backpedal and say, well, no pun intended, they've gone so far as to say, yeah, no, don't, until it's fixed, don't buy these. Now, Toyota has announced that all affected cars would be fixed within a month. Customer service reps said that it should take about a month, and they'll figure out a way to fix new cars, existing cars. Consumer Reports says that it expects to reinstate the recommendation once the problem has been resolved. And I think you were talking about Zipcar.
I just saw the Zipcar, which has a lot of Toyotas in its lineup, and has basically stopped carrying Toyotas.
Yeah, they're pulling the cars from their fleet until it's fixed.
Exactly.
Which is, a good idea, because you don't want someone who's using your service to die in a fiery ball of fire.
Hmm.
Unless your job is to be you make fireballs for a living.
Apparently, they're also going to stop selling 8 models of the Toyotas in the United States.
Like forever or temporarily?
They're going to stop. There's a sales suspension for the RAV4, the Corolla, Camry, Matrix Hatchback, Avalon, Highlander, and the Tundra and the Sequoia.
Interesting.
So they're not going to sell those for a little while, I guess, until they fix them. Because the Corolla, a Camry, those are like the two most popular cars on the road. So.
And I believe that they've also shut down one or more of their production facilities. They're not making cars; they're making fixes for the pedals.
Wow.
I saw that last night on the television. So that is all for this segment of That Computer Show, broadcasting live from thatcomputershow.net. We're going to be back after the break with more news. For example, haggis to be unbanned in the United States. Company called Sundrop looking to combine wood chips for gas. Looks like they could take sun and wood chips to make gas. It's kind of interesting.
Cool stuff.
Jimmy Kimmel busts on Jay Leno, and the iPad still stupid. Stay tuned. That Computer Show will be right back.
Junior, now that you're selling yourself for a buck, you're going to meet a lot of girls.
What?
But when a whopper loves a woman, they... Peter, take this.
What's this?
It's an extra napkin. Put it in your wallet.
Yeah, thanks, Dr. Love.
Don't mention it.
Whopper Jr. for a buck. Bringing some attitude to the BK value menu.
My baloney has a first name. It's O-S-C-A-R. My baloney has a second name. It's M-A-Y-E-R. Oh, I love to eat it every day. If you ask me why, I'll say, 'cause Oscar Mayer has a way with B-O-O-G-N-A.
Have you heard about Valpak.com? It's the online version of the famous Valpak Blue Envelope with even more great offers. At Valpak.com, you could find savings for your home, coupons for eating out,
table for two,
or maybe even discounts on gardening services. To discover today's savings for yourself, just log on to www.valpak.com. Enter your zip code and start browsing our online coupons. So, how does that sound? Valpak.com. There are more savings online for you.
New Meow Mix from Purina. The cat food with three separate flavors in one package. Three flavors that cats love best. Tuna, liver, and chicken. Meow Mix tastes so good, cats ask for it by name.
Meow.
From San Francisco comes...
Rice, a-roni, the San Francisco treat. Rice, a-roni, the flavor can't be beat. One pan, no boiling, cooking ease.
A flavor that is sure to please.
Rice, a-roni, the San Francisco treat.
Rice, a-roni, the delicious break from potatoes. Now in six fabulous flavors.
One pan, no boiling, cooking ease.
A flavor that is sure to please.
Rice, a-roni, the San Francisco treat.
Hot dog, Armor hot dog. What kinds of kids eat Armor hot dog?
Fat kids, skinny kids, kids with slime on rocks. Soft kids, fizzy kids.
Even kids with chicken pox love hot dog. On the old banjo, put on the mustard and away we go.
When men fight dogs, they do say they.
But when kids fight dogs, they yell.
Hooray for hot dogs.
Armor hot dogs.
The dogs, kids love to
The Vatican unveils its new Pope signal. It's the Onion Radio News. I'm Doyle Redland. The Vatican threw the switch today on its new laser-sighted Pope signal, flooding the Italian night sky with a flashing profile of His Holiness Pope John Paul II. The signal will be used whenever the police commissioner in Rome needs to contact the Pope for emergency crime fighting. Once the signal was activated, the Pope appeared, swooping through the air, his majestic cape billowing in the wind. He then heroically excommunicated the Joker. Doyle Redland for the Onion Radio News. Pick up the Onion at your newsstand or visit theonion.com.
Buy it, use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, mail, upgrade it, load it, point it, zoom it, press it, snap it, work it.
And we're back with the third and final segment of That's Computer Show. Tesla Motors. Have you heard of Tesla Motors, Chris?
Have I?
Yeah, I don't know. Have you?
Yes, man.
Who is Tesla Motors?
They are a enterprising car manufacturer who builds quite possibly the sexiest electric car.
Yes, Tesla Motors, the electronic car company, has filed paperwork signaling intent to go public, as reported from 4fast4.com, selling stock in an initial public offering, also known as an IPO. While no date has been set, the SEC paperwork filed indicated an offering of $100 million. Wow. Hmm. You want some Tesla stock?
I think I do. I'm not certain if they've got their... Right now, they're offering just the Roadster, but they last year talked about a coupe and a family sedan and things like that to add to their lineup using the technology they have perfected with the Roadster. The Roadster gets 200 miles to a charge, which is pretty decent, an average for a vehicle, and it's great for an electric car. The impressive thing is it gets 200 miles to a charge and does 0 to 60 in like 3.8 seconds. It is fast. It's faster than the car you own, unless you own a Bugatti or something silly like that. This thing is ridiculous. Doesn't pollute, and actually performs fairly well in a crash. I saw an image a couple of months ago where somebody ran into the back of a Tesla with a Prius, and granted, the Tesla is a supercar. The Roadster is a supercar, so they don't really survive crashes as much as they protect the occupant and then disintegrate. So, which it protected the occupant actually as better than the Prius, but the back end was completely smashed.
Did you know that there's an ATM in Antarctica?
An ATM, as in like singular, as in like one.
Well, I stumbled.
That's a whole lot of ice track. Just yeah, I gotta get some cash, you know. So, and you get on your snowmobile and you ride for 4 days.
Wow. Okay. Wells Fargo. I was fascinated. This is a quote. I was fascinated when I learned that there was an ATM on Antarctica at McMurdo Station, because you know it's not like your local ATM. And okay, wow. Wells Fargo manages an ATM in Antarctica. Wow, I.
Interesting.
Why? Oh, technically there's two. Okay, there's two.
Oh, okay. Whew. I was just going to say.
There's a backup in case.
You only have to ride on your snowmobile for 2 days.
Yeah. Oh, okay, wait. Yeah, there's one ATM operational at a time, but they have a spare in case something goes wrong.
Damn it, this isn't the one that's on today.
Wow.
I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a burger today, because the ATM is down.
Oh, okay. Interestingly enough, all of the cash on McMurdo Station is recycled. Basically, they don't have to go replenish the ATM, because if you're on McMurdo Station, chances are you're going to spend the money at the Walmart or whatever's on McMurdo's. Wow. I just noticed that. Almost as big a news item as the return of haggis to the United States. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the United States to lift a 21-year-old ban on haggis. Can you Google me what haggis is made of real quick? Okay, haggis is about to return to the United States. The daunting dish was banned out of health fears 21 years ago during the middle of the mad cow disease crisis. It's a silly ban, which meant a lot of people have never tasted the real thing, said Margaret Frost of the Scottish American Society in Ohio.
It's sheep heart, liver, and lungs, minced onion, oatmeal, spices, salt.
Thank God it's got salt in it.
And it's usually simmered in the animal's stomach for approximately 3 hours.
So it's a stuffed animal stomach.
What in the hell? Did someone sit around and go, they had to have been drunk when
it's
they thought
the Scottish.
This up.
It's the Scottish. They don't have to worry about the food tasting good because they're all
not,
drunk.
It's not that it probably tastes good. I don't know. But just how it's prepared and what it's made of. Someone sat down and said, what is the most disgusting thing you can think of right now? No, wait, get drunk, and then what is the most disgusting thing you can think of? Oh, let's put a sheep's heart and some of its liver and some of its lungs. And onions, of course, and oatmeal, and put it in, and cook it in the stomach, just inside the stomach with all. I'm gonna throw up and into a stomach and cook it.
Ew! Gosh! I bet it'd be good. So, yeah.
But most modern commercial haggis is not prepared in the stomach.
No,
it's prepared in a casing, which is just about as gross if we really
minced
think
sheep
about it.
Offal. That's what it.
So now why was it banned?
Apparently, it had something to do with mad cow disease fears, and they probably weren't well founded. But yeah.
Oh, it's also used in a sport. Now see, that's a use for
haggis.
Haggis.
What is the name of the
haggis
sport?
Hurling, which involves throwing a haggis as far as possible, which is probably what I would do if you ever served me one.
So. I'm an adventurous eater. I really am. And I'm sure at some point I'll probably try haggis. But I've talked to a number of Scottish people who are like, yeah, haggis is kind of gross. So that's why I'm confused.
Why?
I want to make gasoline from the sun, Chris. And I'm trying to change the subject.
Please do.
Sundrop Fuels believes it can combine wood chips with sun power to make gasoline and diesel fuel.
What's the name of the company?
Sundrop.
Like the beverage?
Yeah.
I really like Sundrop. Yeah, it's good.
A Louisville, Colorado company says it has perfected a solar energy technology capable of producing 100 million gallons of synthetic gasoline annually from corn stalks, wood chips, and haggis. Not really. I'm kidding about that. Sundrop Fuels Incorporated has constructed a 60-foot tower rising above a nearly 3,000-mirror solar array near Highway 7 and Interstate 25 in Broomfield, Colorado. So if you're driving by, why don't you visit them? They're nice people.
Well, these guys need to get in touch with the guys that are building the biomass plant here in South Carolina.
Yeah. And they've already proven it can generate synthetic gas using the sun's heat.
Now, that's kind of cool. Wood byproducts that we already have.
Yeah.
The sun, which is... We already got that, too.
So in the spirit of haggis, they are making fuel out of things they've already got and really can't do anything with.
Yeah, what do you do with leftover liver and heart and lung tissue?
An onion from oatmeal from your breakfast.
And a stomach. I'll just put it all together and boil it into the sun and turn it into gasoline. Put it in your car.
Yeah. The company blasts organic materials such as wood chips and straw with super high temperatures gathered from sunshine. The heat tears the material apart on a molecular level, adds the sun's energy in a thermochemical reaction.
I'd love to hear the sound of that. It's probably very comic book.
they probably have, through loudspeakers, a very scientific, sci-fi, techno music soundtrack.
Yeah.
Not that one.
That's pretty cool.
Wow. Sundrop Solar Reactor near the top of the tower operates at temperatures of 1,200 to 1,300 degrees Celsius. For those of you in the United States, that's effing hot. About 2,200 degrees Fahrenheit. Wow.
Wow. Why did we just go metric? We were metric for like 15 minutes back in the day.
Oh, no. I think it was Jay Leno's fault. He said, you know, we're going to go metric for 5 years.
And then we're
going to go back.
We're going to go back and just have 5 minutes afterwards.
There's a whole big deal about this whole Conan O'Brien. I don't understand why Conan, my dad used to call him Conan O'Brien. I don't understand why he doesn't just use his mighty sword and smite Jay Leno. Because he's Conan O'Brien. My father, God rest his soul, Conan O'Brien.
I like Conan. I think he's great.
I kind of like him more than Jay, honestly. Jay's got the chin. Conan
Jay, but not on the Jay Leno show or the Tonight Show. I think he should go walk away from both of those. I would love to see Jay Leno on an American version of Top Gear. That's what I want.
Yeah, that would actually be pretty interesting.
Because he's got just enough comedy. He's got a great Jay Leno's Garage. I don't know if you've seen it online. It's really great. Does some really cool stuff with cars.
But he wouldn't do crazy stuff like the Top Gear guys do.
He's actually been on Top Gear.
Yeah, he has. But and David Tennant was on there too the other day. But I don't know. He's I don't know. Haggis. Wow. Blech.
Okay, well, just about as gross as haggis. I found out that the next version of Ubuntu, which is going to be called Lucid Lynx, is going to replace the default search provider in Firefox.
I'm sneezing. I'm not freaking out. Don't worry.
I was wondering what the hell was going on over there.
All stop.
Changing the defaults. No, I'll stop.
The face that I just
made. I'll stop, Captain. Lucid Lynx is changing the Firefox default search provider from Google, which we've all known and loved,
right,
to Yahoo. Now, the interesting bit about this is that when they change the search provider from Google to Yahoo... Yahoo is run by the back end is Bing. So in effect, you'll be using Microsoft's Bing as a default search for Firefox on Linux.
In Linux.
My head just exploded.
Yeah. In related news, we're in talks with Microsoft to replace Bing with warlywarlyboop.com.
I mean you have Microsoft's Bing powering Yahoo, replacing Google on Linux. I don't even know where to go with that.
I'm gonna blow your mind in a totally different way.
But the good news is Conical gets paid, and that's good for Conical and Ubuntu. It's just weird that it's coming from Microsoft.
All right. You remember Avatar?
Remember it. It's still fresh in my mind.
Yeah. Well, two pieces of conflicting news here.
Blue.
All blue, yeah. China acts as 2D Avatar from cinemas. China has pulled the... And this is coming from the BBC. China has pulled the 2D version of Avatar from cinemas amid claims that the plot mirrors forced land evictions in the country. Authorities insist the decision was a commercial one, saying the 3D version made up two-thirds of ticket revenues. Critics claim the film's plot parallels the removal of millions of residents to make way for property developers. Okay, so China putting the axe on the two-dimensional...
I gotta say, if this movie pisses you off, it should.
Well, but here's the thing. China renames a mountain in honor of the film.
Okay.
The Southern Sky Column in Jiangxi Hunan Province will now be known as the Avatar Hallelujah Mountain. Local officials said photographs of the mountain had been used as the basis for Avatar's fictional world of Pandora. Avatar has become the most popular film ever in China, making $80 million at the box office so far. Seven people have seen this movie.
Oh.
Yeah, the Xiaoyang Morning News said the mountain was officially renamed at a ceremony on Monday.
Why?
It's stereotypical because we're in China. I'm not making fun. It actually is Xiaoyang. Why are you laughing?
I've got an interesting bit of news. Do you remember when we talked about Fox News was going to pull all their free news off the web and you had to pay?
Yes.
Well, they've done some of that. But one of the first to do it was Newsday. Newsday put its website behind a paywall. It was one of the first non-business newspapers to take this paywall plunge.
I love the term paywall instead of firewall.
They spent $4 million developing their new website and redesigned their site.
They spent $4 million?
Yeah, how many people have signed up for this $5 a week news service?
How many?
35.
You're kidding me.
35 people. They've netted a total of $9,000. To pay for a $4 million
35 people. Redo. Wait, how does that work? Hold on, let me do this calculator.
They pay $5 a week.
So, how many? There's 52 weeks in a year.
Mm-hmm.
All right, 52 times 5. That's $260 a person.
$260 a year. That's how much it costs.
35 people. Oh, are they getting them to pay for a year up front?
I believe.
Yeah, they'd have, because that's $9,100. Wow, what if one of those guys cancels? What are they going to do, man? They're going to take a big hit.
Actually the people at the web develop team and the people, the employees at Newsday are kind of upset. They've had to take a 10% pay cut. So they're not happy about that.
Wow. In related news, looking at this from Slashdot, DRM content drives the availability on peer-to-peer networks. An analysis by Jay Greco. The music industry once feared that going DRM-free would drive a massive explosion of copyright-infringing music availability on peer-to-peer networks. Now, a new study seems to suggest otherwise, commonly referred to as common sense. If you can easily get inexpensive DRM-free content that works on all devices through legitimate channels, most people aren't going to bother with peer-to-peer. And I'm a perfect example of this. I have bought 5 or 6 MP3s in the past week from my Android phone using the little tagging thing. You mm-hmm. play it and it tells you what song it is. And then I go over to Amazon MP3 and I buy for a buck. I've bought
And you can put that MP3 on your notebook and on your phone and listen to it anywhere.
I have bought more music this year in 2010 than I did in the all of last year because of the ease of getting to non-DRM. It's easier to spend the buck than it is to pirate it.
Make it easy to get to. Allow me to use it anywhere, and I will pay for it.
As evidenced by my bank statement, which has a bunch of little charges from Amazon, and I'm happy to pay it. In related news, you can rent Star Trek from Amazon.com for $1.99 this weekend. It's on the list of their $1.99 rentals.
Can you stream it from their site?
You can stream it directly from their site. You can download it to your TiVo and hold it for up to 30 days. So, like, I already own the movie, but if I wanted to, I could buy it. Sit on my TiVo until I feel like watching it.
I'm going to buy an HDMI cable today.
I'll sell it to you at
so that I can hook my notebook
price
up to my TV and stream it.
You know what? Let's test that because I have District 9 that I purchased on Amazon. Oh, the show's over. Holy shnikes.
Yeah, you have that whole list of... Oh, that's just one thing. Okay.
Yeah, well, $100 laptops at grocery stores. Okay, that computer show is
right next to the haggis.
Then next to the haggis, yeah. Whoa, gross. We'll be back next week with more of That Computer Show Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard. Hit us up during the week at thatcomputershow.com to get downloads, blog posts, past episodes, and more. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at TCS Joe. Until next week. That was not sped up at all. That was awesome. Until next week, this is Steven.
And this is Chris.
And you have been listening to That Computer Show.
Scroll it, pose it, click it, cross it, crack it, twitch, update it, name it, read it, tweet it, print it, scan it, send it, fax, rename it, touch it, ring it,